the beauty of what we can do with Shopify is because there's a very standard data structure there, we can send through very reliably what Meta calls their event match quality score. You know, you were talking about accuracy earlier, but we talk about accuracy in terms of the throughput, just making sure all of the orders are actually being sent through. But there's also accuracy when it comes to attribution. We need to be able to send through a high quality enriched event so that Meta knows which customer profile it can match it to.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, it could be Facebook ads. And we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, I get to interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making that marketing method work for you. This is the final episode of our latest dive into the world of Meta ads. Essential listening if you want to be up to date and squeezing the best performance out of your social advertising. A common theme throughout this series has been the importance of feeding the algorithm in all sorts of ways. And in this episode, we're looking at another way you should be feeding that Meta ads algorithm: server-side tracking. Not a replacement to your cookie tracking, but an essential addition. Yes, you need them both. Prepare to find out how and why you should be making sure your server-side tracking is in place and working well. Now, do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end of the interview, my guest will be sharing their quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of Meta ads. And then I'll be sharing my take on it all, plus outlining some other ways we can help you improve your Meta ads even more. So stay tuned to the end.
Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.
In this episode, I'm chatting with Meta ads expert Edward Upton. Edward is the CEO and founder at Little Data, where they're on a mission to make it ridiculously easy for D2C brands to connect marketing channels with customer data to accelerate growth. Hello, Edward.
Hello, thanks for having me here.
Awesome to have you here discussing such an important topic for anyone who wants to optimize their Meta ads. So it's awesome to have you here talking about it. As an attribution and analytics specialist, though, how did you end up getting so deep into Meta ads?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I started my journey sort of 10 years ago, really, as an analytics consultant, really helping brands more with their reporting and Google Analytics reporting dashboards based off that. And the first version of Little Data was very much about solving that. And then I think what we realized, and we'll come on to a bit of the history in a moment, but we realized back in 2021, there was an opportunity to take all the stuff we were doing for Google Analytics and actually use the same techniques to feed a much better stream of data into Meta ads. And I think that's not so much for reporting. I mean, I don't think anyone really uses Meta as a reporting tool per se. It's really about targeting. It's about actually improving the performance of the ads that you're running.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating how, alongside massive changes in how we handle analytics and attribution, these big changes have happened to Meta at the same time, obviously partly caused by the same underlying factors. But I think, you know, 5 years ago, the idea of doing a whole episode on tracking for an ads series would be mind-blowing. But now analytics, the tracking, the attribution is coming into everything more and more and more. Do you find there's a lot more brands wanting to talk to you about this, wanting to find solutions better than what we used in the past.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a growing awareness that as you say, that the data tracking into Meta is one of the key foundations of any successful strategy there. However, I think a lot of brand owners are confused about what is possible, what, you know, what is good and what is not good. And judge generally, it's actually very difficult. Meta doesn't make it easy to go into like your Facebook ads account and figure out whether the data feed in is accurate. So I think there's a lot of confusion around the subject. And I guess I'm here just to sort of say that it may be easier to make the fix than you think.
So let's ask the big question then. Why do we need server-side tracking if we're running Meta ads? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have extra work?
Well, I'll tell you a brief history, and do interrupt me if I'm boring you, Clay. But I think everyone understands, you know, kind of the sort of pre-2020 world. Facebook Pixel was launched in 2014, and yeah, for 6 years, Meta tracking worked pretty simply. You cut and pasted that Facebook Pixel onto your storefront. You included it in your theme, and then and importantly on your thank you page, and then it told Meta that every time someone had purchased, they could link it back to an ad that brought them there. And then the cataclysmic event was in 2020 with the release of iOS 14, when Apple started blocking a lot of the clicks through from the Facebook app, which was the most popular way people use Facebook, into your website, and that really killed a lot of the attribution for Facebook ads. So I know that a lot of people pull back from advertising there just because suddenly all the same tactics didn't work. But Meta came out with a comeback to that, which was what they called their Conversions API, launched in 2021. And what Conversions API allows us to do is to basically say, rather than just putting a little tracking script on the thank you page, and we'll come on to more about why that's problematic, you can actually send direct from your server to Meta servers a ping that says, look, this customer purchased, they told us they have this email address, this phone number, this physical address, and by the way, on their storefront, they have these cookies. And all that information together can be ingested by Meta and used to attribute back, not just based on the click, because as I said, there's many situations in which that's kind of blocked, but based on whether the person has viewed the ads and on a Facebook or Instagram profile that's linked to the same person you purchased. So Conversions API is all about being able to send, as you say, server-side tracking into Meta so that they can attribute based not only on the cookie, but also on the actual customer profile.
And it's about, just to be 100% clear here, it's about the conversion, the sale data. We're adding other stuff in, cookie data and information, so Meta can tie it all together on their side. But this is about sales conversion reporting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're obviously an e-commerce brand, what you need to do is get a good return on ad spend in terms of, you know, getting people to purchase a product based off a multiple of what you're spending on Facebook ads, as in a positive return on ad spend. And the challenge where we actually see two big challenges with the Shopify stores we work with. One is that they're just not telling Meta about all the purchases that have been made, so that they're under-reporting. And that means that you may well have a very successful ads that drove sales, particularly problematic, by the way, if you have big ticket, high AOV, because obviously just one missed conversion could really skew all your numbers. And you're just not tracking at all. So it doesn't allocate any more bids to that creative or that placement because you didn't tell it that anyone purchased. And then we see the opposite problem, which is that a lot of people also are getting duplicate tracking. So you're basically telling Meta that one purchase was actually done two or three times, and you're tripling the reinforcement effect for that particular ad, probably at the expense of other ads that were doing better. So I think it's super important that you can get 100% of your orders, your purchases that you know that happen on your Shopify store or any store that you use into Meta, so that their algorithm can correctly allocate the ad spend, correctly bid for the right kind of users and creative that's going to convert to sales.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's all about accuracy, not about over-reporting or under-reporting. They're equally bad, because if you're giving Meta the wrong information, Meta's making the wrong decisions on your behalf. And as we've talked throughout this series, Meta is going to be making more decisions for you, whether you want it to or not. So you've got to give them that right data. I want to, before we get deeper into all of that, it strikes me in many ways that kind of this whole conversions API, the whole server-side tracking, it's like we've cut out the middleman and we're doing something that probably we should have been doing all along, which is giving the best possible data back to the tools we're working with in order to enable them to do a great job for you. It almost feels like we went too far ahead and now we've gone back to the stuff that really works.
Yeah, correct. And I think what Little Data mission is about is being able to say, look, as a brand, you're capturing all this great first-party data. In order for people to be able to buy from you, they are telling you more about who they are in terms of their email, their physical address, et cetera. But the problem is, as you say, you can't get that virtuous loop going with your marketing unless you're sharing that in a meaningful way with your marketing channels. Now, some people would say, well, you know, I shouldn't be sharing anything. But I think if you want to be advertising Meta, you're entering in a bargain with them, which says, look, if I share you better customer data, in an anonymous way, by the way, you know, you're hashing it so that it can't be leaked anywhere. You're not sort of uploading a list of your customers. But you're basically saying, look, if I share that with you, Meta, in exchange, you can give me higher performing ads. And you're absolutely right that you know, brands have been capturing this first party data for years, but they just haven't been maximizing use of it in their marketing channels.
Do you find that most of the brands who are, you know, taking this step to get all the data right, are they doing it because they're fed up of the reporting that they're seeing being so different from one platform to another? Or are they doing it primarily because it enables better ad results overall to be driven because the data that Facebook's receiving is more accurate? Is it a mixture of the two?
I think it's both. I think we see a couple of situations quite commonly. I mean, I think we see brands that have kind of got to crisis point with their return on ad spend, where, you know, maybe it's probably not just been a sudden decline. It's probably been declining kind of over the last couple of years. It's just got to a point where it's no longer economically viable. You know, there's no actual positive return on ad spend. Or that, you know, by the time you take into account the gross margin. So I think that's typically a problem. And again, you know, server-side tracking isn't some miracle fix. It's not suddenly going to triple your return on ad spend. But as I said, if we can track, most Shopify brands we work with are missing maybe 20% of their conversions. So, you know, 20% bump to your ROAS could be pretty significant. And then, yeah, you're right, the other situations where people are just looking into reporting, they just go, look, this just doesn't make sense to me. I know that I did $1,000 in, you know, in my Shopify store yesterday, and I'm only seeing $800 here in Facebook. Unless I can kind of get those numbers to match up, I just don't have confidence in the result.
Does it work for everyone? You know, should anybody listening to this be looking at doing this? Or is this, you know, if your ad spends less than X, it's not worth it. If you're in this category, it's not worth it. Are there anybody who it shouldn't?
Well, I think from a little later selfish point of view, I was kind of split it into two categories, really, that you're on Shopify or not on Shopify. So if you're on Shopify, as I said, we have a fully automated app that you can set this up in 10 minutes. And therefore, I don't really see any downside because the pricing, our pricing is tiered by the number of monthly orders you're doing, therefore the kind of level of ad spend you're doing. So, you know, if you're spending a tiny budget on ads each month, you're also spending a tiny amount to get the set up. Unfortunately, if you're not on Shopify, we can't serve you. So I think if you're going to have to tackle this in a manual way, I've definitely talked to brands doing it. But yes, I think you're right. At that level, you'd probably need to be spending, well, certainly tens of thousands a month on Meta, maybe hundreds of thousands to really make it worth investing in your own data infrastructure.
So it's worth asking the question of the devs if you're not on Shopify and you don't have those easy plug and play options. But
yeah.
Then once you know how much they're going to charge you, then make your decision about.
Yeah. So that, yeah, there are tools they can use. So server-side Google Tag Manager is probably the most common one to sort of set this up. And it's, you know, I've talked to lots of brands that have done it. It's not going to take, you know, a year of developer time, but as you say, it could be significantly, it could be in the thousands. And so, you know, you're going to need to be spending tens of thousands to kind of see the benefit.
Makes sense. Brilliant. I was going to say, how hard or easy is it to do? I guess it depends what platform you're on.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think the beauty of what we can do with Shopify is because there's a very standard data structure there, we can send through very reliably what Meta calls their event match quality score. So that's the other point. You know, you were talking about accuracy earlier, but we talk about accuracy in terms of the throughput, just making sure all of the orders are actually being sent through. But there's also accuracy when it comes to attribution. We need to be able to send through a high quality enriched event so that Meta knows which customer profile it can match it to. And so that's the other point, is that not just the purchase, but also all of the, you know, ads to cart, checkout steps, all the things you might want to retarget on. In order for Meta to be able to use them, we have to send through an enriched event. And that's also something we can automate. So you're right. If it's on Shopify, we can do that very easily. And it, and all of the setup is automatic. It takes 10 minutes. You just need to basically give us the authorization code or the API key from Meta to send the data in, and it's done. If you're not on Shopify, as I said, you're going to have to sort of configure that data pipeline yourself.
So I guess there's levels of it, of implementation as well. You know, like the Facebook Pixel, we just slapped it on the website and it works, you know, tick the button on GTM and away we go, or Shopify, wherever you're at.
Yeah.
It sounds really much in the lines of what you were just saying, that there are levels of implementation.
Correct.
Of this connection. We could do it so it just sends one thing, but I'm guessing on how all our conversations with the algorithm have been going, that the more stuff we can be sending back via that API, the better. Is there kind of like a minimum you'd recommend someone making sure they're sending back to Facebook? Is there any like basics, middle, guru level? You know, where do we?
I mean, it's got to be about the purchases, hasn't it? You know, you've got to get that single purchase event in, and you know, sending through the cookie identifiers, but also the email, phone number and physical address are the main ways Meta can match that to a profile. So I think, again, if you're a Shopify store, the basic level is to add what they call the Facebook and Instagram app. That's the sort of official connector that was built by Shopify, but technically it's owned by Meta. I don't think anyone at Meta's heard of it. It certainly hasn't been maintained recently. But I think, you know, that does use the conversion API, and it will do the basics of sending the purchase. However, what Little Data is offering is so I think there's three ways you can improve upon that. First of all, as you say, just we've talked about a bit, just make sure all of your orders are tracked and not duplicated. The second thing is tracking all the events leading up to the purchase so you can retarget abandoners. So, you know, a great powerful tactic you can use with Meta is to go off and probably bid higher to go and retarget people who were just about to purchase but dropped out. And you can do that if you have accurate tracking of people who did view the product, add to cart, checkout. But thirdly, we should mention one of the coolest features we've just launched is about being able to distinguish between new customers and existing customers. So I think most brands would far rather spend a larger amount of money acquiring a net new customer on Meta and then being able to upsell to them using, you know, email marketing, SMS, etc. So if you can, you know, Meta is a brilliant channel for being able to acquire net new business. And what we can do is split out those conversions so that you can target your acquisition only on new customers. And I think that being able to split there between new and returning is one of the key ways you can really maximize your spend and also measure your marketing efficiency ratio, which is about how much of a marketing spend is actually acquiring new customers.
Nice. And then I mentioned the Facebook Pixel there. And I think some people will, I guess one of the most common questions has got to be, so do I still need the Facebook Pixel? Should I still have the Pixel installed, or can I just go completely over to the server-side tracking? Do we still need Facebook Pixel?
We still need the Pixel. And the reason that is because the Pixel ID, the cookie ID that it sets, is still actually in most cases the way that those campaigns can be tracked. So just to be clear, like on all those iOS releases and stuff, we haven't got to like zero tracking. In most standard web journeys, you know, and we're talking maybe 70%, that cookie will still work. That first party cookie set by the Facebook Pixel will work. So yeah, that's one route. What we're doing here is adding on to that. As you said at the beginning of the podcast, we're taking that and supercharging it by sending through the server side data. And in actual fact, you know, what Meta recommends and we now support is sending in basically dual tagging, which means that you do track everything that happens in the browser, client side tracking, but you're also tracking everything server side as well. And providing you get the deduplication right, that just means that there's it's totally robust. You know, whichever way there's interruptions, generally on the browser on the client side, Facebook's still going to get that event through. So yes, you do still need the Facebook Pixel. This is just an upgrade on top of that.
As we keep saying, give the algorithm all the data you can, so long as it's accurate and not overstating.
Right.
Okay. So we keep our Facebook Pixel, we add our server-side tracking, it's going to give us more accurate reports, it's going to give the algorithm everything it needs to keep driving us better results. Obviously, with the Facebook Pixel, once it's in place, it should just keep working. There's no maintenance. Is there maintenance for the server-side tracking? Or is it once it's up and running, it's just there? Or do we need to, we've launched a new product, we better go and do something? Is there that sort of maintenance to do?
Not that sort of maintenance, but there is a constant sort of tinkering of like the e-commerce platform and Meta do update their algorithms regularly. So I would say, you know, that's again the sort of service of the latest offering is to be able to sort of take on that maintenance ourselves. Obviously, as we talked about before, if you're going to implement your own data pipeline, yes, there is some obligation to come maintain that. Yeah, I'm not talking weekly, but sort of every quarter or something. So I think yes, that's perhaps one downside. I mean, to be fair, you know, if you really wanted to get right even before this with the Facebook Pixel, it would still have been a good idea to do a sort of quarterly health check anyway. So I think it's a bit more maintenance, but not disaster. And as I said, if you're using a fully managed service at a little later, obviously at zero maintenance.
Great. So not entirely set and forget, but you can outsource the not needing to forget bit.
right. But make sure you did do that, because as I said, I think we have seen clients who sort of set that up and totally forgotten about it. And obviously over a couple of years that may well, version API versions change, may well stop working.
And then you end up back in the problem you were trying to solve in the first place, which is you're not feeding the right data in, and the ROI goes down, the ROAS goes down, and. So, Edwin, we've covered a lot there. Anything we've missed?
No, I think perhaps just to take a step back and talk about kind of like why this is important. So, yeah, I just see this increasing trend with Meta investing in clever AI, where what they're actually trying to do is remove settings from the ad interface. They're trying to remove the skill, because actually it's a fairly trivial skill in terms of like budget allocation between campaigns and stuff, because that stuff is actually all better done by an AI bot. But the AI needs the accurate data to be able to automate stuff. Otherwise, it's effectively like driving, you know, with muck all over your windscreen. You can't see where you're going, and neither can the AI. So I just do think this is trend. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, what is Little Beta's sort of, you know, AI solution? And my answer is, we're not about developing the algorithm. We're about feeding the algorithm. So we're not here to be the AI company. We're here to make sure you can make the most of Meta's AI, and they are, you know, world leading in that.
Well put. Excellent. Thank you so much, Edward. It's been great picking your brains about server-side tracking and Meta ads. Listeners, remember, stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Edward's insider tips on Meta ads and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business.
Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.
Okay, Edward, so far we've gone deep into server-side tracking. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of Meta ads. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with Meta ads, or to be honest, I'll let you have analytics and attribution as an addition there, which of course does include all those things we've already been talking about. So Edward, are you ready for these?
Yeah, I am. Yes.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Yeah, so I think, as I said, if you're a Shopify store, and hopefully, you know, you can remove a lot of these setup headaches, a simple thing you can do is install Little Data's app, which can automate not just the data collection into Meta, the server-side data into Meta, but also into the other common channels you're using, Google, TikTok, Klaviyo, etc. And so I think just by adding that, and it's there's a flex plan. You know, if you're just starting out, you can just pay a sort of pay as you go plan. That's your simplest and lowest cost way of getting started.
Very cool. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, so I think once you've got those basics set up, I'll go back to the answer I was talking about kind of focusing on new customer acquisition. So I think if you can get in that a new customer event, new customer conversion event into Meta, either through Little Data's app or through your own tracking that you set up, that is going to really help maximize the return on ad spend, because suddenly you're not just spending dollars acquiring people who may well have repurchased anyway through an own channel like email. You're actually maximizing your dollars to find people who you would not have reached through the other marketing channels.
Yeah, I think I'm a big fan of the DIY, trying to make it work yourself. And I'll be completely honest here. I spent 2 hours yesterday trying to get some API stuff to work, which is not my strong suit, listeners. By no large margin, I'll try. I failed, went back to the paid third-party tool that did it all for me. And all of a sudden, it's all working, and it was much, much easier, and I should have done it in the first place. But I think that point you made about how we optimize it and adding in those cleverer bits with the new versus returning, that's the stuff where, yeah, you've got the time saving and the peace of mind of using an expert to do this for you, who looks after all for you. But then with those clever optimizations, you also benefit because the person you're working with, the software you're working with, sees this from so many other people. Then they get the benefits. So
yeah, exactly that. I'll back you up on that. I see probably a brand, once every few months, he says, you know what? We've loved your service, but we're going to go it alone now. We think we know how to deal with it themselves. And they tend to come back about 6 months later with a tail between the legs and saying, turned out to be a lot harder than we thought. It's like, yeah, I could have told you that. We have 10 full-time engineers just maintaining this one thing. So I think my main message is, if you're a DTC brand, is this your core, is data integrations your core speciality? And if it isn't, you need to outsource it.
Yes. I need to tell myself that many times as well. Do you need to know how to build APIs, Corey? Oh, you don't. So if someone listening even wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend to help them get all this in place?
Yeah, as I said, I think the very simple thing is to install our app. You can find it later on the Shopify App Store, just search for Little Data, one word, or on our website, littledata.io. We also have a great help center, help.littledata.io, which has a lot of explanation about some of the concepts I talked about. About how the actual matching works, how this helps Meta. So those are the two things I recommend.
Excellent. Thank you. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, so I was involved in quite an interesting online debate this morning about where Meta's going with... clearly, e-commerce is becoming more important for them. And I think they're going to do a U-turn back to something they looked at in 2022 but dismissed, which is Instagram shopping. So I think they've seen the huge success of TikTok shop. I think they have to respond, and I reckon we'll see this year a much more concerted effort to do a similar thing with Instagram, where you can actually shop within the Instagram experience, because I just think that's the way they can own a lot more of the customer journey, own a lot of the value, own a lot more of the data. Time will tell how that pans out.
Yeah, I second you there. I think there are some fascinating things to come with the impact TikTok has on everybody else. It was pretty proven in 2023. 2024, they've really cemented that model of customer interaction, content, business model, all the rest of it. And I imagine the Meta, Google, etc. boards are sitting there feeling quite envious right now.
And I still think it's crazy how, particularly if you are a visual product, fashion or whatever, how poor the kind of buying experiences on Instagram. The fact you can't just click through on something and just get it now. That seems to be something they can fix.
Yeah, I think you're probably spot on there, but it's going to be fascinating waiting to see what happens. Edward, thank you so much. We're very nearly at the end of the show. So for anyone who wants to know kind of the full story, I guess, of what Little Data do, because you're about a lot more than just the Meta ads tracking, and where they can get in contact with you and your business, could you please let them know?
Yeah, sure. So similar thing, come to our website, littledata.io. Find us on the Shopify App Store, search for Little Data. Find us on LinkedIn. We're very active there. And please connect with me on LinkedIn. And if you want to, our contact details on the website, please book a demo and be happy to explain more.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for coming on the show and doing such a great job of explaining something, which I know has got a lot of marketers' knickers in a twist. Anyway, it's on the to-do list, but it sounds a bit scary. So hopefully we have got rid of that fear factor. So thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about it all.
Thank you very much. Yeah, my final message would be just do it. You need it.
There you go. All the ins and outs of adding server-side tracking to your Meta ad activity. Most important thing, you're doing it as well as the pixel. So don't get rid of the Facebook ad pixel. That's giving one type of data back into the Facebook Meta ads algorithm. And then your server-side tracking is adding another layer of data. So these things can go hand in hand. Just be careful that you're not double reporting. So it's all deduping when it gets in to Meta itself. Otherwise, you'll be having all the same problems you were having before from over-reporting and under-reporting and all the rest of it. On the point of doing all of this, yes, it's partly to make sure your reports are more accurate in Meta, but primarily it's to make sure you're giving the algorithm the right information so that it can correctly assess the performance of the ads that you're running and then optimize those accordingly. So as Edward was saying, it's not a once and done, there's maintenance to be done in the task or to keep it accurate more accurately, but it is something which will have a very positive impact on all your ad performance. Now you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short link to go to exactly the correct page on the website. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct episode page. And when you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Keep Optimizing podcast. All five of our episodes, Revisiting the Meta Ads Thread, is now live. Think of it as your Get Me Up to Date on Meta Ads Fast masterclass. So please do have a listen to all five. And either scroll up your podcast feed to find those or use the short link keepop.com/meta to find all our Meta Ads content on the website. Our next masterclass topic is going to be customer retention, a hugely hot topic for 2025. And weirdly, the very first time we've done a series specifically focused on customer retention techniques. So make sure you tune in next Wednesday to catch the start of all that. And make sure you subscribe to us or following us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss anything we put out. If you know someone who's particularly interested in Meta ads or customer retention, please let them know that we're covering these topics as this show exists to help you and them improve all your marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.